Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
That's right, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. So glad you're with us. We've got a lot of information, just like we do every week, lined up so that we can help you have the best-looking house on the block. Danny Lipford here, along with my buddy Joe Truini.
Hello, and welcome to the show. Great to be with you. We've got a lot to cover this week, Danny.
Some of the things we're going to cover during this hour is there really such a thing as waterproof vinyl flooring? Traditionally, it's a great type of material to use in some of the wet areas of the home. But boy, when you get down in that basement, that will really put it to the test. We're going to explore that a little bit for a homeowner. Also, winning the battle over weeds. Now, one of the things you think about, if you're battling the weeds like I'm battling them right now, one of the things you think about is rolling into the home center and buying some chemicals. Well, there's a lot better way of going about that that's just as effective that I just recently found out about. We're going to talk about that as well. And also, Joe, you better be ready for your carefully worded explanation about smelly water and its relationship with a water heater.
Oh, with a water heater, yeah. That's a mysterious thing, right? When your water heater starts producing water. Now, the heater's working perfectly. It's producing hot water, but why is that hot water smelling? Yeah, that's a relatively common problem, but yeah, there is a solution for it, and we'll dive into that coming up soon.
Hey, speaking of solution, what about a simple solution we're going to hear about in a little bit?
All right, I have a simple solution. I built a project recently for Popular Mechanics. I mentioned on air a couple of times. It was a chicken coop, and I had to cut a 60-degree miter angle, but my saw only cut to 45 degrees, but I was able to cut to 60 degrees, and that's a simple solution. How to cut beyond the capability of your saw.
Oh, how about that? Yeah, a lot of times people don't realize that you have to do a little maneuvering in order to get those sharper angles like that. I wanted to ask you about that particular article that you did. Did you have to go buy some chickens to prop it out for the final photos?
The only chickens I could buy had already been roasted, so they're rotisserie chickens, and someone might be wondering why they're in the coop. No,
yeah,
we
that
actually
doesn't work out
so we actually hired a woman who build herself as a chicken wrangler. There are people all around here in Connecticut, and I suspect elsewhere, that just raise chickens, and she has chickens, beautiful chickens too, like 10 different breeds, all different sizes and shapes and colors. Anyway, so we hired her, and she brought I think 6 different chickens, and we put them in just for the photo shoot at the end of the day. We had the photographer come up and took a beautiful, so when I work with models, unfortunately they happen to be chickens, not actual supermodels.
You had
but
a model
it was a fun day
shoot.
And that'll be on, I think it's going to post on poppermechanics.com very shortly, then eventually in the magazine itself.
Oh, that sounds good. You can tell Joe stays very busy with all kinds of home improvement projects. And Joe, you mentioned the miter saw. You know, that's something that when you start, you know, one of the first saws you're going to buy is a regular circular saw and your hand tools and so forth. But at some point you come across a project that you really need a miter saw. And boy, have they changed over the years. I just finished up my workshop here at my house, and I had actually a small 18-volt cordless miter saw, which is kind of cool for some of the small things.
Right.
And then I also have this big, giant compound sliding saw that takes about 2 people to move it around. And there's a whole lot of saws in between all of that as well for homeowners.
Yeah, it started off as just a simple miter saw. It just would do square cross cuts. Some people call them chop saws, but technically a chop saw is actually a metal cutting tool that looks like that. So the proper name is power miter saw. But in any case, and it made straight square cuts, and it pivoted to the right and to the left, ordinarily up to about 45 degrees. And that's all it did. And that was actually pretty handy to have. Then they started having it tilt to the left and then tilt to the right and left, so you can cut bevels as well as miters, or compound angles, which are bevels and miters at the same time. And then the one deficiency of those saws is they had very short crosscut capacity. Ordinarily, with a 10-inch saw, you could maybe cut through a 6-inch board, but not much wider. So then they came up with, you had mentioned, a sliding compound miter saw, which the saw rides on 2 rails that allow you to slide out and cut up to, depending on the size of the saw, you know, 12 inches or more. It's sort of little by little trying to take the place of a radial arm saw, which we had talked about a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It never will, really, but the great thing, advantage that any miter saw has over the radial arm saw is that it's portable. As heavy as it might be,
that's right.
You can at least move it around. But yeah, those are extremely versatile tools, and they're pretty safe. As long as you keep your hand away from the cut line, they're pretty safe. And for making square cross cuts or any miter cut, there's no more accurate way to do it.
Hey, but we want to stress that safety part of things, because there's a lot of accidents that do happen using motorized miter saws as well as table saws. And what I always think about on something like that, when you go up and you're about to turn that button on an aggressive tool like this, stop and catch your breath a little bit. Never be in a hurry. Never run by, I got to get this done. Just stop, catch your breath. Before you turn it on, make sure you have your wits about you before you start tying into something like that, because you can just make one, just reach in and grab. And also having to be so careful when you're talking about these small pieces of trim.
Exactly.
That gets a lot of people in trouble.
Yeah, those are the most dangerous cuts. I was just thinking about that as you're describing the safety features, is that, you know, it's really difficult to cut small pieces on this saw because it's very powerful. It's a very aggressive saw. And to cut small pieces, it's difficult. So, you know, don't bother, I guess, is the best thing. Mm-hmm. Don't even try to cut really small pieces. And we're talking about pieces less than probably about 3 inches. And most saws come with a hold-down clamp. Mm-hmm. And if I was going to buy a new saw, I would certainly look for one with a hold-down clamp. They can usually go on the right or left of the saw, and they basically do exactly as it sounds like it does. It holds the pieces of work in place. So if you do need to keep your hands further away, the clamp is really great at holding the parts, so you're not anywhere near the blade.
So, Joe, what about some of the other projects you're doing other than building the chicken condo that you're... Is it a condo or a coop?
It's a co-op.
It's a co-op. Oh, I got you.
Get it? Co-op, coop.
In addition to doing that, what are some of the other things you're doing around the house? Because as we know, there's always something to be done around any house.
Absolutely. Always something to be done. I'm building... I love building storage into places that are like wasted spaces. And we have some, I live in a Cape Cod style house. So the upstairs has some knee walls, which are just walls that come up 4 feet, then an angled sort of cathedral roof. Mm-hmm. Well, behind those knee walls is space. I figure, well, I might as well use it. So I cut a square opening in one and I put in essentially just a plywood box. And I built some drawers, 4 really deep drawers and some full extension drawer slides. The drawers are 22 inches deep, about 8 inches high. And like 22 inches wide, so nice big drawers. And I just went to the hardware supplier last week and bought some mahogany. So after this radio show, I'm going to go down to the shop and cut up some drawer faces. And I'm going to set this. And when you set it in the wall, I mean, all you see are the drawer faces. It takes up zero floor space. So that's a great use of space. If anybody has space behind a knee wall, you might as well use it. Right? I figure I paid for the whole house. I might as well try to use all of it.
Might as well use every cubic foot of it. Well, I'll tell you, my house is complete. Of course, you know how it is. You never get complete with a house, but I have reached a plateau and a completion mark. So I'm real, real proud of that. And I've gone back over details and adjustments and all kinds of things. I've been in here a little over a year and a half, but I've switched gears back to my little bitty modest river cabin that I have had for 38 years.
Wow, have you had it that long?
I built it 38 years ago out of scrap material. It probably cost me a total of $2,000, I bet. You know, old telephone poles that I retrieved and bought for $10 a telephone pole, cut them in half.
Right.
And that's what is still sitting, this little cabin still sitting on it. But let me tell you, and of course I ignored it because I've been working on my house here for the last two or 3 years and pretty much ignored it. And just like if you park your car out in the front yard and you don't touch it for 2 or 3 years, you got a lot of things happening there. So I am tackling all kinds of leaks. I had to reprime my pump. Of course, I've got the pump going that showed me all of the leaks. And then... in the water lines, and then I've got just little pieces of ceiling that are falling, and it's like, oh, this just is just almost too much. But after a day of, you know, mowing, weed eating, cleaning up and things like that, you go, hey, we're okay. And that's the way it is with a lot of projects, that once you kind of wipe away a little bit of the obvious ugly, all of a sudden it seems a bit more manageable. That's the way a lot of projects are.
Yeah, it's always the first couple of steps, right? When you first show up and the house is, the lawn's overgrown, there are leaks everywhere. It's like easy to get back in your truck and go home. But just a day of sort of getting started, and then you'll have in your mind what you end up with is a clear path ahead. You know, okay, now I know I've gotten to step one. Now I can see the rest of the way. But it's just getting to that first step that's often the most difficult thing. But I've been down to the river cabin, and it's a beautiful spot. And the river has tried to wash that cabin away several times, but it's still there. So good for you, buddy.
It's still hanging in there, so I'm kind of rekindled some of my interest down there. Look forward to taking the grandkids down and showing them what I showed their mother, and let them catch some fish, let them ride around a little bit, do some swimming, and realize what it's like to be in the great outdoors. Hey, we're just getting started here on today's Homeowner Radio. So glad you're with us. I guarantee you, like we do every week, you hang around a little bit, listen to us for a while, and we will share with you something that you can use at your house right away. I'm Danny Lippert along with Joe Trevini. We'll be right back.
DIY means sawdust, work gloves, and the right tools. But at the Home Depot, the right tools means more than hammers and saws. It means a mobile app with built-in image search. That's a tool. Access an entire rental department with a swipe. That's another tool. For any project, start to finish, this isn't just DIY. This is doing like never before. This is the Home Depot, how doers get more done. Download our mobile app to get started.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done. And by Quikrete Cement and Concrete Products. It's what America's made of.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. So glad you're with us. And we want to say a special hello to one of our great radio stations that we have all over the country. This one is in Geneva, New York, WGVA AM 1240 and 96.1 FM. We want you to get in touch with us. It's very, very easy. If you'd like to send an email, you can do so at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Or if you'd like to call our 24-hour day, 7-day a week, Today's Homeowner hotline is 800-946-4420. Right now, we want to go to that hotline. We have Ken from Nebraska on. Ken, welcome to the show, and tell us what's going on around your house.
Well, I'm refinishing or installing a basement bathroom.
Uh-huh, sure.
And I'm gonna put something on the floor. I'm not really sure what I'm going to use. I'm thinking of the vinyl planking.
Mm-hmm.
It says that it's waterproof. I get some moisture on the floor on a rare occasion, and I'm wondering, is there anything that I should be putting on that floor below the planking above the cement? It's a poured concrete floor.
Okay. Well, don't blame me for being concerned, because even with any type of floor that touts its waterproof nature, still having moisture entering into that, being under the floor, you're still going to have some problems with mold, mildew smells, and different things like that. So probably cleaning that concrete up really, really well. And then, Joe, what would you recommend to Ken on that in terms of some type of coating? We recommend Dry-Lock from time to time, but
what do you
think on the floor like that? Because whatever you put down is going to help repel the moisture, but also is going to help that floor adhere to the floor a lot better.
Yeah, exactly, Ken. Now these are water; they're rated for waterproof or below grade, so you can only trust the manufacturer that they are indeed.
But, exactly.
Right, but I'm with you. If I was going to do this, because if it doesn't work, then what? You're going to rip up the floor and move the toilet and everything else. So, I think you're smart to take a step, even if it's not needed, because it's not going to cost that much money and it's not going to take that much time. And the easiest one would be, Danny said, Dry-Lock. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's a line of waterproofing products. There's one called Dry Lock Extreme. If you're going to put one down, might as well put down the best one. Just roll it down, paint it down, follow the directions.
Yes.
Probably two coats of that. That would probably be all you need. If you want to move up another step, you can use a waterproofing membrane like Red Guard, or there's other ones. It's essentially like a liquid rubber, and you do the same thing. Two coats, roll it down, brush it down, let it dry, then put on another coat. And then if you really were concerned, and I don't think you need to do this, but if somebody was had some water, then the next step would be an epoxy paint. But I don't think you need to, you know, you have very little moisture, and it's probably seasonal moisture. So
very much.
I would do either the waterproofing membrane or the waterproofer, the Dry Lock Extreme waterproofer.
Yeah, I think I'll try that and see how it works out. I just don't want, you know, I'm thinking, should I go with tile? And then my knees are sore. I don't want to, you know, so I'm thinking this might be a little quicker.
Yeah, it would definitely be quicker, be less expensive. And just remember to leave the expansion joints recommended by the manufacturer around the perimeter of the room. Okay?
Exactly.
All right. Well, good, Ken. Sound like a great project to tackle real soon, make a big difference in your home, and I'm sure it'll come out great. Let us know if we can help you any other way.
Thank you.
Okay, take care, Ken. That's a good project for this weekend.
Well, you've installed quite a few of those vinyl plank floors, right? And you like them.
Matter of fact, in my lower area, my basement area, my previous house, I put the luxury vinyl tile in there in a couple different places, and I just like it. I like it a lot. And of course, like anything you buy, there's good, better, best.
Right,
and you don't want the low end on that. You want to get at least the middle of the road there to be able to make that work. Hey, let's talk about killing some weeds without chemicals in our Around the Yard segment, brought to you by Pavestone. You know, this time of the year, many of us are finding ourselves battling those weeds, and no matter how diligent you are as a gardener, you're going to have to deal with them from time to time. It's just pretty much inevitable. So if the idea of using chemical herbicides doesn't appeal to you, and there's just too many weeds to pull by hand, which is always the best way to do it, you can find some natural options to kill the weeds and keep them from coming back. Now, in flower beds, mulch can really be your friend, but mulch alone really won't block enough of the sun to keep all the weeds from growing into your bed. So before you mulch, put down a layer of newspaper, cardboard, or landscape fabric over the soil to starve the weeds of light. That's going to help a lot. Now, this plan won't work for weeds that pop up through things like sidewalks, patios, and driveways, which always amaze me. How in the world do those things find their way through those little bitty cracks? So in those kind of situations, you may want to mix up a natural weed killer. All you need to do is fill the spray bottle with white distilled vinegar and top it off with just a little bit of dish soap. And then when you shake it up, you spray it on the weeds. What happens is the dish soap will cause the vinegar to stick to the leaves. And because vinegar is a natural acid, it'll begin burning the plants right away, usually leaving them brown and withered by the end of the day. Now, you can use this formula on weeds in the lawn too, but be sure to spray very carefully because this solution will also have the same effect on grass as it does on weeds. And this Around the Yard segment, again, brought to you by Pavestone. And I'll tell you something that that I learned years and years ago, which I truly believe is important, is if you're diligent and want to pull weeds, which again, if you can pull weeds and get the whole root and everything out, that's the best way to go. And it's immediate getting rid of those weeds. But immediately put that in a container. Don't lay it on the sidewalk or the driveway, because immediately you're spreading hundreds or thousands of seeds, weed seeds, that is next time it rains, is going to populate your flower beds or your yard with more weeds. So you just want to treat it like it's poison and put it right in a little bag or garbage can and get it away from your yard as soon as you can. I see people making that mistake all the time, including my wife.
Well, yeah, you saw it as soon as you laid that beautiful sod you now have in your yard. The vinegar, I mean, this is one of the many times where vinegar can really save the day for you, and it costs almost nothing. And I'm not sure if we've mentioned this in a while, Danny, but you can buy regular old vinegar that you would use in the kitchen at any pretty much any store these days, and it's really cheap. And you can use it outdoors, and it works great. But they do make a higher strength, higher acidity white vinegar. I think it's just called garden vinegar or lawn and garden vinegar or something like that. And I think normal vinegar, the acidity is like 6 to 10%, something like that. But the garden vinegar, the acidity is up to like 20 to 30%. So it's much more acidic, and it really does kill those weeds by the end of the day. So, you know, if you're really struggling with weeds that regular vinegar is not working on or taking too, working too slowly, then go out and get the higher strength vinegar.
You know, what? One of the real simple type of foods or snacks that we have a lot is just simply taking cucumbers and onions, slicing them up, and putting them in a little bowl of vinegar, put it in the refrigerator overnight. That is such a, I don't think everybody would like that type of, you know, strong vinegar
taste.
It's
pickling,
and so forth.
Basically,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, pickling. But I love that kind of thing. Yeah. You're talking about simple foods and simple snacks, and it's got to be good for you because vinegar makes everything better.
You say that about a lot of stuff, though. This is a guy who spent his childhood eating mayonnaise and pineapple sandwiches, so might not be taking your culinary tips from Danny.
Oh, there you go, making me hungry again. I'm going to have to go get me. And the tomato sandwiches with mayonnaise, that's a
Yeah, there you go. I've had tomato sandwiches, absolutely, especially this time of year.
Yeah, oh yeah, the tomatoes are growing very, very well. I'll tell you, that guy that came up with the leaving the tomatoes on a short part of the vine and putting those, now that makes it look so good. They're not necessarily great, good-tasting homegrown tomatoes, but but the illusion of it is definitely there. You're going to buy those before you buy just that standalone tomato over there.
And look for those heirloom tomatoes. Those are amazing. I had one recently. It was like 95% tomato meat, very little seed. Amazing.
Hey, you're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. So glad you are. When we come back, we're going to talk about almost a phenomenon of how you can have some really bad smelling water as a result of a little tiny problem in your water heater. All of that and more coming up on today's Homeowner Radio.
Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner. If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio. Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Pavestone, creating beautiful landscapes.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our Best New Product segment brought to you by The Home Depot. How doers get more done. One of the things you learn quickly about renovating homes is the value of new materials that can help hide old flaws. That's one of the reasons I really like this new entry knob and deadbolt combo pack from Defiant. The knob in this set features a new 70 millimeter rose plate that provides more coverage, so the paint rings left by the old door hardware will never be seen. And flexibility is very important in remodeling as well, and the easy fit latch on this lock can accommodate either door thickness or back set that you may have, either 2 3/8 or 2 3/4. And from doors from 1 3/8 inch up to 1 3/4 inches thick. Plus, the pack includes 4 keys because, let's face it, we never seem to have enough house keys. And it's great when they can add a few more keys in there. So for more information on this Defiant entry knob and deadbolt combo lock, just log on to HomeDepot.com. That makes a lot of sense there.
I love that idea, because if you've ever removed a doorknob that's been painted around, and the other new doorknob doesn't hide or doesn't line up exactly, there's no way to sand that perfectly smooth. You think, well, I'll just sand it and paint it. It never blends in.
Mm-mm.
So this is great.
Does.
And so in about 10 years, they'll start selling one with a 75 millimeter plate and an 80 millimeter plate. So as you keep replacing it, it gets bigger and bigger, and you don't have to ever worry about that.
After a while, it looks like a ceiling medallion on each side of the doorway.
There's a big, giant thing on your door.
Hey, we've got a little problem on the horizon here down in Florida. Robert's on the line with us right now. And Robert, tell us all about what's going on, and welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have well water, and I treat it with a salt softener, and I chlorinate it. And that goes through a filter before it comes into the house. The cold water is fine, but I have an electric hot water heater, and the electric hot water is really, really stinky. And I'm told there's a thing called an anode rod, I guess, that goes right down into the middle of the tank. And the purpose is to prevent the tank from deteriorating.
Correct.
But it reacts with the water, and that's what my smell is. So there's my problem. Can you guys help me with that?
Well, we certainly can, and it is one that we've heard about a lot. I just always just scratch my head on this one and just go, how odd, you know, the chemical makeup of things that happen within our homes. This is a good example of it, but Joe has dealt with this quite a bit and has a solution for you right now.
Yeah, Robert, you're exactly right. And for people who aren't familiar, an anode rod is a sacrificial element that they put down inside of water heaters. So if there's any corrosion, instead of the corrosion eating the lining of the tank, it'll eat this anode rod, and it eventually just disappears, and you replace them occasionally. Now you had it replaced, the anode rod replaced, and the problem went away for a little while. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Well, that's an indication of they replaced a magnesium anode rod. Most anode rods are made out of magnesium. They replaced a magnesium one with a new magnesium one. And what happens is when you first put it in, there's no issue because it takes a while. By the way, the sulfur or rotten egg smell that you're smelling from your hot water is caused by a sulfate-reducing bacteria that grows inside the water heater. And that, in turn, is caused by a chemical reaction between the magnesium and the hot water. All right, so it's the magnesium in the hot water that's causing this bacteria to grow. So if you put in a new magnesium rod, it takes a week or a few weeks, whatever, but sooner or later, it's that bacteria builds up again. So here's the solution. You just have to replace, you have two options. Replace the magnesium rod with an aluminum anode rod, or you can install what's called a powered anode rod, which is non-sacrificial, meaning once you put it in, it's made out of, I think it's made out of insoluble titanium. And that does not eventually get eaten away. But in any case, it uses electric pulses. So it's hooked up to a electrical supply, and it uses electrical pulses to prevent corrosion. So those are your two options, and both will eliminate the odor in the water, either the aluminum anode rod or the titanium-powered anode rod.
Okay, so the aluminum one is like you say, self-sacrificial. Would I have to replace that?
Yes.
I have to replace that eventually.
You would have to replace it eventually, and how often would depend on the quality of your water and how often you're using your water heater. When you hire a plumber to come in to replace it, if he's familiar with your neighborhood or town, he would probably be able to say, well, I replace them every 6 months, or I replace them every year, or whatever.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
No, they're not cheap, but it's better than replacing a water heater or having stinky water.
Right.
Yeah. Your other option is to take cold showers, and that's not really a very good option.
Right. I have a question just out of curiosity.
Sure.
Friends who live with municipal water and have electric hot water heaters, they're not having this problem. So it is my well water, even though my well water is treated. I'm the one with the problem. Is there something different about my well water, even though it's been treated?
Sure. It could be the well water. It could be, I mean, I'm on a well, and I have a softener as well and a sediment filter, but my hot water doesn't smell, you know? So I think it, your neighbor might be on a well, and they might not have that issue either. So I don't think you can tell by, you know, whether, you know, one part of town compared to the other part of town, especially since you're drawing it out of the ground as opposed to being provided by the municipality.
So the electric one really does work, really works well.
Yes.
Pardon the pun.
I get it. Yeah.
That's great. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Our pleasure, Robert. Thanks so much for being a part of the show today. Best of luck on that.
Thanks a lot.
At this point, I feel like I maybe should have paid a little more attention in chemistry class. Boy, you sure did throw a lot of terms around there, Joe. You did sound a little bit like a chemistry teacher or a mad scientist, something like that.
Well, thank you, I think. I have written about this enough that it sort of burned into my head. And it really is, I mean, maybe I went on a little longer than I should have, but the basic thing is don't replace a magnesium rod with another magnesium rod because the odor is just going to return.
Well, it's just so amazing to me. Every time we have a question like this, it's just, why don't somebody sit down and figure this out to where you don't have such a high maintenance issue on something like that?
Yeah.
Because water heaters are extremely important, and you need to make sure that they hold up well. By the way, if you have not drained your water heater and you have a tanked water heater, drop by todayshomeowner.com right now and put that in the search engine, how to drain your water heater. You'll be glad you did. It'll make it last a lot longer, and it'll work a lot more efficiently, which means it'll save you money. Hey, you're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back and get in the aisles of the Home Depot. We'll be right back.
Keep the bugs out and let the fresh air in with Duck Brand's hands-free magnetic screen door. It's a quick, affordable solution for outdoor living spaces. The durable mesh is easily installed and can be attached to the inside or the outside of your existing door frame with no tools needed. It works on single or sliding doors, and the magnetic closures make it easy to walk through when your hands are full. Learn more about Duck Brand's hands-free magnetic screen door at duckbrand.com.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautiful tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. No mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
Is your concrete driveway, sidewalk, or patio looking old and worn? Time and exposure to the elements can cause concrete to flake, discolor, or just look dull. Now you can easily renew your concrete surfaces with Quikrete Recap Concrete Resurfacer at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, and you can do it yourself. Quikrete Recap will give you a durable new finish that will last for years. For more information on Recap, visit Quikrete.com. Quikrete, what America's made of. Metal roofing is durable, low maintenance, and energy efficient, making it one of the best choices for today's homeowners. They often last 50 plus years and can protect your home from extreme weather. With styles and colors to suit every taste, metal roofing is definitely worth considering. Want to learn more about metal roofing or find a contractor near you? Check out the Metal Roofing Alliance at metalroofing.com. While you're there, be sure to enter the Metal Roofing Rave sweepstakes and you could win a $100 Home Depot gift card. Visit metalroofing.com today. In older homes with old electrical wiring, the hazards you don't see may be the most dangerous ones. Loose wiring connections or damaged wires can cause arcing or sparks that may lead to a fire. The solution is an arc fault circuit interrupter, or AFCI. Leviton offers AFCI outlets and circuit breakers that detect hazardous arc faults and interrupt the power, reducing the likelihood of an electrical fire. Learn more at leviton.com/AFCI. Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on your new stone countertop, garage floor, and more in just a weekend with Deitch.
Welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I'm Danny Lippert along with my buddy Joe Truini, and it's time to go in the aisles with our friend Danny Watson at Home Depot. Danny, I'll tell you, we talked before about moving and having to do all of the packing and things. Boy, it causes a lot of anguish with people when they're having to do all of that. But man, if you just will make yourself write out a list, head down to Depot and get all the essential things you need, it does make it a little bit easier, right?
It does, and I just recently moved, so I can tell you, planning and being prepared, having all the materials you need before you start is crucial. So you can come on down to Home Depot and look at the moving supplies, wardrobe, TV, picture moving boxes, everything you're going to need to pack things away. And I got to tell you, we've done a great job by kind of revamping that section of our store. We have so much more that really helps the movers, let Home Depot be a one-stop place for them. And then packing materials like your 3M tape, packing paper, stretch wrap, glass and dish moving kits, bubble wrap, you will find everything you need to make that move as simple as possible.
And, you know, some of the packing tapes that are available now are so much better than they used to be, because nothing worse than, you know, you're going to put too much in that box anyway, and then you're trying to carry it, and boy, if the bottom comes out or it just doesn't stay together. But some of the new 3M packaging tape we were exposed to recently, and I'm really impressed with that.
You're right. It's really come a long way, and it holds up well when you're packing those boxes. And I can tell you something I use that is not on my notes here, but I use labels so that I knew exactly what was going to storage and what was going to the new house. And I think it's critical that you do that, so once you're unpacking, you're like, oh, that box got mixed.
Oh, yeah.
It can be a headache. So labeling, or maybe using a color system to mark the boxes, you know, really thinking that out ahead of time will save you some headaches later.
And that's certainly very valuable if you're able to, you know, get a few friends and neighbors to and some family to help you out with some of that moving. You hate to have that hectic situation where you're at the doorway of your new house and that goes to the bedroom, that goes upstairs, that goes there. If you have it labeled, that makes it a lot better. Now, I'll tell you what, one of the things that you might not think about as much, and another thing that can help you out with a good visit to Home Depot, is all of the cleaning supplies, because, you know, you're going to be cleaning up the house you're moving from, and you probably are already cleaning up the house you're moving into. So cleaning is just as important part as anything else here.
Yes, and our cleaning supplies and the whole cleaning aisle at Home Depot is fantastic. Picking up some supplies to, like you say, to the house you're moving into, the one you're leaving, I don't care how clean you are, when you start moving furniture, you'll find that there's some cleaning to be done. The Method 28-ounce French Lavender All-Purpose Surface Cleaner is a fantastic one that's going to leave that house smelling great. The Rejuvenate has a click-and-clean multi-surface spray mop that really makes it easy to mop things up, and just does a great job. I wanted to add, too, when folks are looking at moving, go to Home Depot's Moving Hub. It's really a fantastic tool. It helps you plan how many boxes based on the size of your kitchen or your bathroom, your bedroom, and just helps you plan on really how much stuff, how much material you're going to need, as well as there's a lot of tools and things on there that's just going to make the move easier, maybe some things you haven't thought about. But go to Home Depot's Moving Hub. It's a great website that's going to help step you through it.
I've been there, and I've seen a lot of those great checklists they have there, and you're right. It's a great way to kind of get a little bit of this nervousness away from you by planning and doing what you need to do. Once again, Danny Watson, thanks so much for being in the aisles of the Home Depot with us.
Thank you, Danny.
And that's really important, Danny, all those tips, because the average American moves on average like every 10 to 12 years. So, yeah, if you're moving that often, I think some people move even more often because of work, being transferred because of work and stuff. But, yeah, those are all great tips. And if you're moving, hopefully they'll make the move a little smoother.
Yeah, like I said, you know, it's tough to move, whether you're moving across the street or across the country, but with the checklist and with all of the materials that are available, make it a lot easier. Hey, we're going to go right to our emails here. We appreciate you sending emails. You can send us one right now, todayshomeowner.com/ask. This came from Holly, and Holly asked, how's the best way to find someone to install insulation under my floors? The crawl space has about 5 foot of access, but the joists are 4 foot on center. Very unusual. I'm worried that I won't be able to find a seasoned professional that knows how to install insulation. I already have plenty of R24 insulation, and the area to be insulated is about 1,000 square foot.
4 foot on center joists?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right, does it?
Very unusual. Well, I have seen that before where
have you
have
wow.
4-foot centers, and then on top of that, you have 2x material, like 2x8s and so forth,
right,
and then plywood on top of that. But I'll tell you, Holly, people, the insulation companies, they do this all the time, and they have different types of plastic mesh that they use. It almost looks kind of like a chicken wire, and they can put that under it, staple it, and it'll hold the insulation up in those cavities where it needs to hold up. So I would just call around to a number of the insulation companies, make sure they routinely do residential work, and you'll find someone that'll be able to help you out. Now, most of the time, they supply the insulation, but you can just let them know you're looking for just a labor price, and they may be able to recommend an installer or be able to take care of it yourself. Either way, the more insulation you can put in the house certainly will benefit you in a more comfortable home and driving the cost of that energy bill down. Hey, you're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. Coming up, Joe has another great simple solution for us and a lot more information that you can use around your home. All of that and more right here on today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
Looking to update the look of your fireplace mantle? I've got just what you need at checkinginwithchelsea.com. Just search for fireplace plans for free printable plans. Then watch my how-to video of this simplistic but sophisticated design, and you're on your way to building your own fireplace mantle too. I can't wait to see what you build, so be sure to share your mantles by tagging me on social media. I'm at checkinginwithchelsea. Again, the plans and video are online now at checkinginwithchelsea.com.
Doing it yourself doesn't have to mean all by yourself. With the Home Depot as your partner, doing's never been easier. You can pick up skills online in a virtual workshop, pick up what you need fast from easy in-store pickup lockers, even have it delivered same day. Oh, and if you don't have time to tackle a project, our home services can do it for you. This is doing like never before. This is the Home Depot, how doers get more done.
In older homes with old electrical wiring, the hazards you don't see may be the most dangerous ones. Loose wiring connections or damaged wires can cause arcing or sparks that may lead to a fire. The solution is an arc fault circuit interrupter, or AFCI. Leviton offers AFCI outlets and circuit breakers that detect hazardous arc faults and interrupt the power, reducing the likelihood of an electrical fire. Learn more at leviton.com/AFCI.
Chelsea Lipford Wolf here. If you're a fan of great before and afters, you need to check out my ranch revival. Dad and I are renovating my 1950s ranch-style home inside and out. You'll get the scoop on everything from simple curb appeal updates and painting projects to energy efficiency improvements and rearranging walls. Find out more at todayshomeowner.com/ranch revival. Brought to you by American Standard, Armstrong Ceilings, Geldwin Windows and Doors, Rockwool, and Wetwall, a Wilson Art Company.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Custom Building Products, North America's leader in flooring preparation products and tile and stone installation systems.
And welcome back to a very special part of the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. It's always great when I have an opportunity to have my buddy Joe Truini share another simple solution with us. Joe, what do you have this week?
All right, Danny, if your power miter saw only cuts at 45 degrees, can you cut angles greater than 45 degrees? Well, yes, actually you can, and here's how. Let's say, for example, you need to cut a 60-degree miter. So what you're going to do is you're going to start by making a cutting guide, just a small jig, and you can cut it from a piece of 3/4-inch plywood or like a 1x4 or 1x6. What you're going to do is cut the guide about 4 inches wide and maybe 12 or 16 inches long. Then you rotate the miter saw blade to 30 degrees. Okay, so you set it to 30 degrees, trim off one end of this guide. So now you have this piece of wood is about 4 inches wide, and on one end of it, you have a 30-degree miter cut in it. Next, you clamp this guide, this 30-degree guide, you clamp it to the miter saw table, right close to where the blade comes down. And now to make the 60-degree cut, all you have to do is rotate the miter saw blade back to zero, as if you're making a square cut, lock it in place, then hold the workpiece that you want to cut, hold it up against that 30-degree mitered end of the guide. Now make the cut. What you end up with is a precise 60-degree miter cut. and it becomes 60 degrees, of course, because instead of cutting 90, you're taking 30 degrees mm-hmm. away from that 90 degree cut, and that leaves you at 60 degrees. So, and of course, that works with any angle. You know, as long as it adds up to 90, you can cut any angle. This just examples for a 60 degree angle, which I had to do recently. So there you go. That's how you can cut beyond 45 degrees on a saw that ordinarily cannot.
Now, earlier he was showing off with all of his chemistry knowledge. Now he's throwing in his math skills in right here. But I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
And I'll tell you another thing. Not only will you get a accurate cut in that excess of the 45-degree traditional cut, you're also doing it a heck of a lot safer.
Yes.
Because I see guys trying to wiggle this around and things like that and say, whoa, man, your fingers are just, you know, inches away from that aggressive 10-inch blade. So that's one of the things. And we always want to stress that. We always, like we mentioned earlier in the show, if you were with us, that, you know, you just want to take your time when you're going up to any tool, especially one that's plugged into the wall. You really want to slow down and make sure that you end up the day with just the same number of fingers that you started the day with.
And toes.
Yeah, that should be one of the quests. And so anyway, we want you to be safe on that. But Simple Solutions, now I'm telling you should go to todayshomeowner.com/simplesolutions, and you'll really enjoy looking at these 60-second versions of these that Joe's have done over the last 20+ years. There's, I think it's like 520 of them out
there. Over 500, yeah. When are we going to produce a book? I know.
We have had a lot of people request that, and of course, you've written a number of books, so you know the process and so forth. So you could just do all of the content, and I could just do some witty banter.
We have to have someone's photograph on the cover. That's where you come in.
Yeah, we'll have to see about that. Maybe you and I can get on that. Hey, that pretty much wraps up the first hour of today's Homeowner Radio. Certainly hope we've been able to share with you some things that you are interested in and that you can use. And we'd love to always hear from you by sending us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask or calling us up 800-946-4420. And if you're listening to a station that doesn't carry the second hour, head over to todayshomeowner.com/radio so that you don't miss a thing. And we certainly appreciate you being with us each and every week here on Today's Homeowner Radio. Thanks for listening to this hour.
Hey, we want to hear from you at Today's Homeowner Radio. Call the Today's Homeowner Hotline anytime, 800-946-4420, or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Again, thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.